Welcome to Crestview Baptist Church. Thank you for coming and worshiping with us today. I'm glad to have you here. If you came out to Revival any day this week, I think you were blessed. I think we had a good turnout every night. Thursday night, we had a big crowd here. But as we get ready to start a new week, just a few announcements I want to lay out there. I want to remind you that of our Wednesday night services, 6:30 in here, the adults down in the building, youth and the kids, we have been doing a Bible game night once a month, and this week we are going to, unless it changes, because it's just always up to do that, my plan this week is we're going to have our Bible game night this Wednesday night. So youth and kids, come on out to that. It's a fun time. And we will have a lot of cool games, and we have some cool candy prizes and things like that. So come out to that if you can. Then the adults will start. We'll start here at 6:30. Also, this coming Saturday, May 4th, is the first Saturday of the month, and we will have our all-you-can-eat breakfast sponsored by the Baptist Men. So be sure you come out to that if you can. If you want to come out and help, it's always welcome. It's always a good time to hang out with everybody. And it's a good opportunity to meet new people. And sometimes you get to meet people who don't step foot in the church other than on that Saturday. And you get a chance to talk to people and share the gospel with people and just fellowship with the community. You'll see that at the end of March is our first fellowship in the creek. So be sure you keep that on your calendar. That's always a fun time. And I don't have any more announcements. Unless somebody else does. But also, don't see the boss man. All right. So, I'm going to call an audible. If I get fussed out later. I'm going to open us up with our prayer this morning. Talk about prayer requests. Be sure you're praying for our church and our community. If you get the prayer list from Joy, keeps you up to date with our prayer request. And this is not directly, and I have something that happened for me this morning, you guys, prayer, not for me, but something I would like to share. Somebody I know, a friend of mine passed away this morning. His mother-in-law, Susie Edwards, used to come to church here, and he was a 47-year-old young man. He passed away this morning, so keep that family in your prayers. And hey, he's here now. I'm going to turn it over to him as we, and I just invite you to worship with us this morning.
Good morning. Well, come on, guys. You can do much better than that. Good morning. Okay, it is great to see everybody here this morning in the house of the Lord. Before we get started, we do have a couple of things that we need to take care of. Ginger is in with the choir. And the choir's not here either. We're dragging this morning, aren't we? Here they come. Ginger, would you mind coming over here and taking Summer's spot for just a second? Please. And as Ginger comes over here to switch with Summer, I would like Summer and Faith to come up here. These two young ladies have been an incredible asset to our church over the last few years. They have been here every service to translate and interpret our services into ASL. They are live streamed alongside of the rest of the service every Sunday morning. They came and interpreted ASL for every service that we had this past week at our joint services. They are seniors at Gardner Webb. And they are graduating. So this is actually your last Sunday with us. Because Faith is going back home to Georgia and Summer's going to Alabama. So we have something for them to say congratulations on finishing their school, and also thank you for interpreting for us for the last several years. Thank you. Oh, I'm almost failed. I'm not done yet. No, I got one more. Okay.
Okay. Today is one of our teenagers' birthday. And, you know, if y'all had a birthday on a Sunday, we wouldn't omit anyone. But once you're a teenager at 18, oh, wait a minute, reverse that, 81, you have earned the respect and honor of us singing happy birthday to you. Joe, our faithful Joe, let's stand and sing happy birthday to Joe. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday, dear Joe. Happy birthday to you.
And I also have one more announcement. I have been here now for 14 years. I have had to put up, deal with, give advice to, tell him yes, no, no way, okay, maybe, to our pastor, Tony Hubbard, who has been here 1 year before me. So he has kind of been like my little brother. So I have put him in his place a few times, and then he has actually told me to keep your mouth shut a couple of times. But it has been a pleasure working with our pastor, Artie Hubbard, who has served our church now for 15 years. Artie. So we have a small gift for him so that he can take Ginger. Timothy, you can't go. So he can take his bride out to meet anywhere you want to go that'll pay for.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. We have one more thing that we need to do. Corey, could you come here? I have to say it one last time. Yo, Frankie! Come on up here. This is Corey Achenbach. Corey, this is your last Sunday with us, isn't it? He leaves next week? Wednesday? He leaves Wednesday to go to Great Lakes to begin boot camp for the U.S. Navy. So I am going to ask that any veterans that have served our armed forces, if you could come up here, and you could come up here and surround him and lay hands on him, I would greatly appreciate it. As we pray for him and pray to begin our service. So any veterans, if you can come forward. especially the senior veterans. And please do not forget to pray. Donna, why don't you come ahead and come up here, too, because you're going to need prayers as well. Ginger, would you mind going down there as you... And Celeste, Dan was in the Navy. You can come down there. And you were in the Navy, too? Yeah, we're waiting on Mike. She's right there by Ginger. Mike, we'll wait as long as we need to. You just be safe. Well, we don't want that. I'm not one of those hit you on the head type of creatures, so you don't have to worry about that.
I don't know. You
I think you got it backwards. I've helped you up several times. This is one thing that I love about Crestview Baptist Church is our support of those that serve our country and give of themselves to do what God has called them to do. And it is an honor to support and pray for those that serve. I've been telling Corey about the stuff that Jonathan has shared with us about going through basic training there at Great Lakes. He said the meanest training officers were always the women. No, you won't be cold. You won't be there during the summer, so you won't be cold. Well, let's pray over Corey and thank you for our service together. Our blessed Heavenly Father, we humbly come before you. Dear Lord, we come to pray over Corey. Dear Lord, he is going to quite possibly do one of the most difficult things that he's ever done. Going through boot camp, preparing to serve this country. Dear Lord, I lift him up to you. Dear Lord, I thank you for the fact that he has accepted you as his personal Savior, and I was able to baptize him. Dear Lord, I ask you right now to keep the hedge of protection around him, that you keep him humble, you keep him strong, you keep him faithful. Dear Lord, you allow him to endure what his body is going to go through. I ask you that you help him endure what his mind will be going through. Dear Lord, I pray for Donna, because I know how hard it is to let your son go away, to not know what's happening, waiting anxiously for that phone call or that letter. Dear Lord, I understand. But I also understand that that sadness that she is feeling is also mixed with an incredible pride that your son is willing to give up everything to serve his country. Lord, I thank you for that mass that you put a hedge of protection around her, that you also give her mind protection, that you keep it strong, dear Lord, because of what she's going to be going through. Lord, I ask you to guard her heart, because I know that emptiness can creep in, dear Lord, but I ask you to fill it. Dear Lord, just give her the strength to continue while Corey's away. Dear Lord, I also pray that today that you fill this place with your Spirit, that you have your way with us, that your Spirit opens our heart, our mind, our ears, so that we hear and accept your word today. Dear Lord, I pray that everything that is done and said here today will not be honoring to us, but honoring to you, as we seek to surrender ourselves to you. Speak through Chad, speak through Sandra in the choir, speak through me today. Bless us all. We give you all the honor and glory for it. And it's in the holy and precious name of Jesus Christ, our living Savior, we pray. Amen.
As our veterans are heading back to their seats, let us stand and sing Psalm 142. We'll sing the first and fourth verses of There Is a Fountain, 142.
There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And sinners blush beneath that blood, but his own red guilty stains. His own red guilty stains.
Continue worshiping by giving up our gifts and our tithes. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, our Lord and Savior, you have blessed us so much. We give back to you now a small portion, and I just pray that you will bless this gift and the giver, for it is your holy name that we pray. Amen. Would you stand again as we sing our hymn of praise, 290, I Am Thine, O Lord, 290.
Draw me near, 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 near
Amen. Thank you.
Can I have the kids come forward, please?
All right, guys. So I'm going to get something. Let me go grab a light. I know. Objects. All right, I got my light. I wanted to shed a little light on the situation this morning. So we're going to turn it on. Are you ready? Well, that's weird. What's going on? What does that mean? Why does it need to be plugged up? But what does that do?
It's the plugged up so you can have a light.
Do you know what makes light work?
A light bulb.
A light bulb would not work without a light bulb, but it will also not work with electricity. Electricity makes a light bulb work. It is its source of power. So I'm going to go get something else. Hold on. I have a source of power right here. I'm going to see what happens. And let's see it work out. I checked this before we came over here. Oh, look there. Now it works, right? It didn't work because it wasn't connected to the source. There was no way for light to come on without it being connected to the source. Did you know we're the same way? I'm going to turn this off. I'm going to share with you real quick, and then we're going to talk more about the church. I want you to look at this. What could this kind of look like? What the plant are out of? They come out of the seed, and then something comes out of the ground. What's it called? A stem or a vine. It sort of looks like a vine, right? And if it's disconnected from the vine,
there's no way for that power to work.
Listen to this. John 15:5 says, I am the vine, and you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bear much fruit, for without me, you can do nothing. And verse 6 says, if anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. So without this being plugged up, it can't produce what it needs to. Well, if we're not connected to the vine, and God says he is the vine, if we're not connected to him, we can't produce the fruit, which is the fruit of the Spirit. Faith, hope, love, and so on. We can't produce those without being connected to him. So, what we're going to talk about there as Children's Church today is some ways we can make sure we don't get disconnected from the source. Okay? We're going to bow our heads and sit down and we'll go out and talk. So, let's pray. God, thank you so much for today. Thank you for being the source of who we are. Help us to do things and help us always be connected to you so we can produce good fruit and our light shine for the rest of the world. All this I ask in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
This world is not my home. Oh Lord, this world is not my home. I've often lay at heaven's throne. This world is not my home. This life is not my home. Oh, this life is not my home. I am His and His alone. This life is not my home. I was a song when love was saved, but I hope to pay death my faith. Now ransomed and freedom's way, my Jesus raised me from the grave. And walk with me. Oh, come now and walk with me. Gather me, a torch shall be. Come now and walk with me. I was wrong when love was saved, but I fought to pay that price. Now I'm ransomed and freed as slave. My Jesus reigns.
Sweet Lord, obey me.
Thank you, choir. I absolutely love that song. This past year, we had joint services with Pleasant Ridge, Beaver Dam, Calvary, Lattimore, and ourselves. And the theme for the entire week was a call to surrender. Every message was about surrendering to God. And so today, we are going to look at a surrendered sacrifice. And if you would turn to Romans chapter 12, we're going to look at two verses. And if you, when you get there, if you would stand as I read God's word. This is what Paul writes to the church in Rome. He says, I urge you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I ask that you speak to me today. Thank you for what we see Paul right here about being a living sacrifice to you. So Lord, as we look at these words that Paul writes and we talk about what it means to be a surrendered sacrifice, I ask that you speak through me. Speak to us and your Holy Spirit have your way with us today. And it's in the holy and precious name of Jesus Christ, our living Savior, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. The messages all week were about surrendering. Paul writes here about being a sacrifice. So when we surrender to God, what does it mean? What does it say when we say that we are surrendering to God? One pastor this week, I can't remember who it was, I think it may have been Derek Green from Pleasant Ridge, and he said, when you surrender, there's no halfway surrender. If you only halfway surrender, it's not surrender. You think about this, in the Revolutionary War, when the British surrendered, did only part of them surrender? Did the general surrender and the rest of the army get fighting? No. When he handed his sword over to George Washington, actually he didn't do it, his subordinate did because he couldn't face it. When that sword was handed over to George Washington and surrender, it was total surrender. There was no halfway about it. So what does it mean when we say that we surrender to God? It means that we sacrifice our desires. It's no longer about what we want. We surrender or we sacrifice our will. It's not what we want to do, it's not what we want to happen, but it's God. We surrender that. We sacrifice that. We place it on the altar. We sacrifice our thoughts. We sacrifice our bodies. And we sacrifice our entire selves. You see, the issue with being a living sacrifice, and if you study the sacrificial system in the Old Testament and how it's described, and even if you look at anthropology about sacrifices, when something is placed upon the altar to be sacrificed, God laid out very explicit details about what was supposed to be happening. The animal's throat was to be cut. It was to be drained of its blood before being placed on the altar. Its lifeblood was taken from it, and it was laid there to sacrifice and to burn. With a living sacrifice, you're always wanting to get up off of that altar. That is our human nature, that we do not want to sit there when we are lay ourselves on the altar and it starts getting difficult, those flames start heating up and we start feeling that. We want to get up and get away from that. The language that's used here, the tense of the verb about presenting your body a living sacrifice or yourself a living sacrifice, it is not a one-time verb. It's not a one-time done. It is a perpetual action verb. It continues to happen day in, day out. And guys, let me tell you something, church. We have to make the conscious decision to sacrifice ourselves to our Lord and Savior every single day. And in my case, multiple times during the day. It is not something that we cannot stop doing. So why do we need to surrender ourselves as a sacrifice to Him? Well, look. It says, therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. I love what the King James Version says. I believe it's the King James. It says it's your reasonable act of service. And then look at verse 2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what is the will of God, that which God good and acceptable and perfect. The first reason of why we need to submit ourselves or surrender ourselves as a sacrifice is because it is our spiritual act of worship. King James translated reasonable act of service, which means it's just what we should do. He's not asking you to do something that is not doable. He is asking us to do something or commanding us to do something that we should want to do, that's reasonable for us to do. It is quite easily the only way that we can truly worship our Savior is by giving ourselves to Him. You think about this. Jesus tells people, as they're bringing their offering in, He says, if you have something against your brother, you go make that right before you bring your gift
of offering. That way, you can truly worship God. Giving Him everything. It's our reasonable act. It's our spiritual service of worship. Number two is because He deserves it. He deserves it. David says that before I was born, you knew me. You knit me together in my mother's womb, in the innermost place. You knew me. Jeremiah, the Lord speaks to Jeremiah, says, I know the plans that I have for you, not to harm you, but to prosper you. Even before God said, let us make man in our own image. And He bent down and gathered up the dust of this earth and created Adam. Before He took the rib from Adam's side and He made Eve and He breathed life into them, He knew them. And we talk several times about how intimately God knows us. He knows us more intimately than our wives, our husbands, our children, our parents. He knows us so intimately that He knows our innermost thoughts, our innermost desires. He knows us that we show nobody else. And when we think about that, that's a scary thought. But get this. That when He formed Adam and Eve, He breathed life into them. He knew them. The same way that He knows us. And He still created us. He created me. He created you in His image. Jesus was active in creation, and He was part of creating us, knowing that at some point He was going to have to give His life to redeem us, because we are a bunch of selfish people, because we want it our way. And we do things our way instead of God's way. And when we do that, there's a nice little three-letter word that the Bible calls that, sin. And because of that, because of denying and disobeying God, Jesus had to die on the cross. And He gave up everything. He left the right hand of the Father.
Let us go in heaven to become one of us,
to walk among us, to give his life for us, to suffer an agonizing death so that we may be redeemed. So why do we surrender ourselves as a sacrifice to him? Because he deserves it. What right do we say, no, Jesus, I'm not doing this because he did everything for us. Oh, how I love Jesus because he first loved me. He deserves it. The third reason why is to prove the will of God. What the will of God is. We cannot live the will of the Lord in our lives without sacrificing ourselves and surrendering ourselves to Him. Paul says it. That way we may prove what the perfect will of God is. And then how can we surrender to him? Look at verse 2 again. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good, acceptable, and perfect. First thing is we do it because we are being transformed by the Holy Spirit. Listen, when you do the will of God and you surrender yourself and you lay yourself down on that altar, there's going to be times that God's asking you to do something that doesn't make any sense at all. To our human mind, our way of thinking, we don't understand it. And there's going to be times that people look at you and say, you're nuts. But that's okay. Because God's looking at you, and when you're being obedient to that, and he's doing something in your life, and he's transforming you through the power of the Holy Spirit, it's going to be okay to be honest, because God's going to look at you and he says, well done, my good and faithful servant. And in the end, what's going to matter most? Whether somebody that you knew here on earth thought you were nuts, or that God in heaven thought you had done a good job. Honestly, which one's the most important? Which one's the one that's going to have eternal ramifications? Eternal rewards. The same person that's going to call you nuts one minute is going to tell you you're the smartest person they've ever seen in their life the next minute. Because we're fickle. God's not. And the second way is by being renewed by the Holy Spirit. You see, when he starts working on us and transforming us, he recreates us. And he takes what is broken and he makes it into something that is whole. And he renews us into the image that we were created in the first place, that sin had tarnished. He took that buffer. And the blood of Jesus Christ, and he just goes, and he buffed us, and he made us shiny and new. That's really what the word's talking about. That renewed is not making it something different. It's making it like it was originally. And when God created Adam and Eve originally, the fourth sin, guess what? They were perfect. Now, can we be totally perfect while we're here on earth? No. But the moment we shut our eyes in death and we leave this body that is breaking and decaying the moment we are born, when we leave this body and our soul goes to be with him, our salvation is made complete and we are renewed permanently. But while we're here, the Spirit is continuing to work on us. And there's one other thing that I need to show you. Look back at verse 1. Paul starts by saying this. Can you pull up to verse 1 here? Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. How does Paul say to do that? And why does he say to do that? By the mercies of God. Think about that. By the mercies of God, we're to submit ourselves as a living sacrifice. Church, I want you to look around. See all those empty seats? We have all these empty seats. Because every Baptist church in this country, every Christian in this country, is not totally 100% surrendered. Some of you may not like what I said, but that's the truth. If every Christian in Cleveland County was totally surrendered to Him, every single church would be packed. Because you would be there, and then you would make sure that somebody else was there. I'm talking about myself too. We would not be satisfied with just getting by. We would not be satisfied with just being the occasional Christian, coming and going to the church on Sunday morning, or maybe every once in a while Wednesday night, or even just Christmas and Easter. But we would be so totally committed to Him that they would something drastic have to happen to keep you out of church. But I've actually been told this. At one point, since I've been here, I'll be at church unless something better comes along. I have actually been told that. If something better didn't happen, I'll be at church. Listen, church should not be our second option, ever. Gathering together with God's people to worship our Savior should be our number one priority every time the doors are open. Honestly, that's the way it should be. If we are totally committed to Him and we totally surrender our lives to Him. Church, I'm calling you. I'm calling you out. We need to totally submit to Him and offer ourselves a living sacrifice, even if it doesn't make sense. Listen, I can't tell you what God's going to tell you to do. I can't share with you and tell you this is the will of God. I don't know what God's will is for your life. It's difficult for me to figure out what God wants me to do. And it takes prayer. And listen, sometimes God asks you to do something that seems crazy to you, and it hurts. But if you don't do it, you're being disobedient. And if you're being disobedient, you're not being 100% surrendered to Him. So I'm asking you, church, as we come to the invitation of the service, do you see Jesus as being worth surrendering to? Sacrificing yourself for? Because we are commanded to present our bodies a living sacrifice. If you're living your life in that way, keep going. I thank God for that. If you're not, I urge you, don't leave this place today without making that commitment to Him. We're only going to sing a few verses. But don't wait. Whatever God is telling you to do, don't leave this place in an act of disobedience. But be obedient to Him and do what He's telling you to do today. As we sing this song, this is your opportunity.
Would you stand as we sing hymn number 283, Take My Life and Let It Be. Take my life and let it be.
Thank you so much. We are going to have something short right after the service. When we pray, I'm going to ask Doug if he would dismiss us in prayer as the deacon of the week. And I'm going to ask Larry Hammett if he would come forward.
Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this day and we thank you for everything it means to all of us. May we always remember that you sent your son Jesus to die for our sins. May we also be transformed by the grace he provided by his teachings and the ultimate sacrifice on the cross. Help us think of others before ourselves. Lord, help us be aware that you're always with us as we depart from here. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.